so unworthy to stand among great preachers and great people and try to say something that will help you. And that is my heart. I mean that, Brother Willis, that is my heart. I do want to help people. I know what hurting people's about because I've been one of those most of my life. And I want to try to help those that I preach to. Let's stand this evening, if you will, please. Thank you for all the singing. Thank you for the good room you've furnished for my wife and I. And I'm sure for all the other preachers would say the same thing if they were standing here. The good meals that Brother Robert, your people, have furnished. The church has put a lot of money out. And I don't take that for granted. And I thank you and so very much for letting us be a part of this meeting. My heart's so heavy right now. I came with a great need in my heart, and only God knows what I'm saying. But I came with a great desire in my heart to get a word from the Lord and to find some help from God. And I appreciate these meetings across the country that you can get away a few minutes and get some help from the Lord. I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 5. And I want to just try to very lightly cover this. It'd be impossible to preach it out. But I want to just pray this afternoon. My wife and I went back to the motel room and got down and prayed a while. And I believe this would be what God would have for this evening. I want you to be patient while I read this passage. I've heard some people say, and I've said it myself, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all this. But the Word of God read is far more helpful sometimes. Then I don't know how many times I've been reading through a scripture with somebody in the pulpit reading. And just listening at that reading has helped me. And I've seen something. And so I don't want to ever put what I've got to say about the Word of God above the reading of the Word of God. And so please bear with me while I read this chapter. In 2 Samuel chapter number 5 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also, in the time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel." Man, I want to do that. I do. I want to feed God's people. "And thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter, and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame, and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore, they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort, and called it the city of David, and David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on, and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, they start to build this tabernacle, this house for David. Look at verse 17. And when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it, and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And let me read that again. "Wilt thou go up to deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines also into thine hand." David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a coppice behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Let's bow to pray. Father, I want to thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege to be here again today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I don't want to just say words right now. I want to thank thee, dear God, for the good preaching that we've heard, and the good singing, and the invitations. And dear Lord, for everything, God, that you, our Lord, have done to make this meeting, Lord, helpful and beneficial to our hearts. I pray now, dear God, that you would touch me, and Lord, help me. Our Father, I do not want to stand here. I had rather walk back to my seat and sit down right now, dear God, than do anything that will, Lord, hurt this meeting. Oh, Lord, would in any way grieve the precious Holy Ghost of God. I pray, dear Lord, for tenderness. I pray for sensitivity. I pray for the thoughts and the mind of our blessed Lord. I pray, God, you'd breathe on every person. I pray you'd give us honesty in our heart, God, to take a good look at our own selves, and Lord, to get help from you this evening. Lord, I'm needing you, God. Our Father, I do not want to say a word. Lord, for my heart is assured, dear God, that I have your tenderness in this meeting. I pray, dear God, that you would lay your blessed hand on every heart. And I pray the hush of God, our Father, would seal our soul this evening. God, that we could receive from you that you intend, O God, for these next few minutes before us. I thank you for what you're going to do. I plead it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For his sake, I humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to look at primarily, and I want you to keep your Bible open, but I want to look primarily at verse number 7. The Bible said, "Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion." I want to preach in this message. I've preached 6 messages at our church from it, and I will just barely scan it today, but I want to preach this thought this day on taking the strongholds. Taking the strongholds. I am convinced of this with everything in me that most people in our churches have strongholds in their life. They have places that they run back into, and places that the devil has really, even as saved people, that the flesh and the devil still has places in their life that they cannot get victory over. And every time they try to get victory, and every time they try to live for God, they find themselves right back in that same mud hole and right back under that same stronghold in their life. Now, a lot could be said there. And I can't give time to go into that. If you study this passage, I want you to listen at me. I wish I had time to really develop it, but time won't permit that. But if you study this passage, Jebusites is Jerusalem. It's the place that the Lord Jesus is going to one day be crucified in. That's the place. It's the place that the church is going to one day be born in. It's the day, place, friend, that Christianity is going to find its fountainhead. And so, the devil devil obviously knows that, and that there is a stronghold in this area. Now, without saying a lot, I really want to get to two or three things, if I may at least. But if we could go back into the book of Joshua, and we could study that in the days of Joshua, they came up against this city, Jerusalem, or the Jebusites. And Joshua was able to kill their king and burn their city. And God said this. He said, when you get over into the land that I'm going to give you, He said, you're not to make any league with the people. You're not to put them to tribute. You're to drive them out of the land. If you don't, He said this, if you don't, they'll become thorns in your sides and pricks in your eyes all the days of your life. He said, don't let them stand. You've got to get the victory. Now, when you come to the book of Judges, in Judges chapter number 1, you're introduced to this thought. It says over and over again, they could not drive out these people. And so what they did, instead of continuing to fight against those strongholds in the land of Canaan, they got tired of fighting, and they made peace with them and put them to tribute. Amen. And you know what I find among most people in our churches today? They've got tired of fighting against the stronghold in their life. And what they've done, they've made peace with it, and they may just kind of settle down and let it go on. Now, stay with me just a minute. I'm trying to junk a whole lot and just get somewhere. Listen just a minute. Bible said in Judges chapter number 1, it said that when the people of Israel were strong, when they were strong, they put them to tribute. Other words, listen to me now. Other words, there was a day, brother, that they could have driven them out. They were strong. God was with them. God had given them the ability. But instead of fighting and finishing the battle and putting out the enemies out of their strongholds, they made peace with them. Stay with me. Joshua's day is about 1040 B.C. When David dealt with them, it's about 1440 B.C. Other words, listen to this. Other words, they have had a stronghold there for 400 years. Oh, my soul, I wish I had time to deal with all this, but they had a stronghold there for 400 years. Oh, if you don't get nothing else, please get this. If they had done what they should have done 400 years ago, their children would not have to fight some of the battles that they had to fight. If you do not conquer the strongholds in your life, while God gives you the victory, and God has given you the grace, and God's given you the ability to do that, I tell you what will happen. It'll come home to your children and your grandchildren. They'll reap strongholds in their life. I really question word preachers or not, because everything's been so encouraging. And oh, dear God, I don't want to throw a curve in the thing. But oh, I'm dealing with so many people that's got strongholds, and they can't have it. I ain't even started, but a few weeks back, when I preached several messages on this about 6 months ago, we had a lady that come join our church. About 2 years ago, her and her husband, the good people, she's the quietest lady I've ever heard. Never hear her speak. I preached on these strongholds and how to get the victory over them. One day my phone rang after this all preached and done. We went on wept through it for 2 to 3 months. And this lady called me one day. I didn't even know her voice on the phone. I pastored her for 2 years. She never talks. She began to talk. She said, "Preacher, have you got a minute?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "It's your messages on the strongholds." She said, "Let me tell you a little something." She said, "Daddy molested me. Nobody in the world knows it but Mommy." And she said, "Preacher, I hate men. I hate men." She said, "I can't get assured I'm saved because I can't trust nobody." She said, "Preacher, I'd give anything in this whole world if I could get over that." Oh, I meet so many across the country. I sat with a man the other day in revival. I sat in the pastor's study with him. He cried and cried and cried, and I'm not being gross. I'm telling you, snot was running down his chin. He cried and he said, "Preacher, I know what I'm doing is wrong. I cannot get the victory over it." I cannot get the victory over it. I won't tell you what he was into. Some of you wouldn't want to know. He said, "Preacher, nobody in the world loves me. Nobody in the world loves me." I'm telling you, "Preacher, I know I've got to hurry here. I ain't even started on the first point." I said to him, "Come here. Hey, come here." I said, "I know your sin's awful." I said, "But I want to tell you I love you. I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you there's power. I want to tell you there's victory. I want to tell you, you don't have to live your life defeated. You don't have to live your life down and depressed. You don't have to live that way. Bless God, there's a God, amen, that's got power to break that stronghold and set you free." If you don't conquer it, your children will face your failures. Oh, can I just give you a piece of this outline? Help me, Lord. You said, "Preacher, how?" I'm convinced there's people right here that's probably got strongholds in your life. I'm not talking about little things such as smoking. It might be that. I'm talking about deep things. Hurts from childhood. Daddy abused. Your mother treated you wrong. I know all about that. My granddaddy abused and molested my mother. My daddy beat me like a dog when I was a child. I know all about that stuff of trying to carry that baggage and serve God with a broken heart when you feel like you're nailed in the mud all the time. But I know something about victory also. I know how God can reach down into your heart and break that power of sin and give you victory in your life. I know. I'm not telling you something I read in the book. I'm telling you something I've experienced on my knees, where the blood of the cross fell on my soul, where the grace of God put salve on a wound, and thank God let you get over it and let you live in victory. You say, "How can I do it?" Number one, look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. Notice what it said. I'll get a drink of water. He said, "Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake unto him, saying, or spake, saying, Behold, we are bone, thy bone, and thy flesh." I ain't got time to develop all this, but I hope I can just squeeze some of it in enough to get you a little help. Number one, there's got to be an agreement of hearts. There's got to be some agreement, some unity. Now listen to me. If you got a stronghold in your marriage this evening, you will never get victory over that stronghold till there is unity between you and your mate. There's got to be. The Bible said that all the tribes of Israel came to David. They all got one purpose in mind. When there is disunity in your mind, disunity in your morals, disunity in your marriage, and disunity in your ministry, there will never be a breaking of the stronghold till we get a unity. In Psalm 133, there is the pleasantness of unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. In John 17, there is Jesus' prayer for unity. That they all may be one, Father, as thou and me and I and thee, they may become one in us. In Ephesians 4, there is the plea for unity. That we all may dwell together in the unity of the faith. But I want you to look at this one. Look in Genesis. And quote this, but I want you to read it with me. It's so big, I want you to see it. In Genesis chapter number 11, I think it is. Yeah. Look at this. Help me, dear Lord, I got to hurry. Verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language, that's unity, and of one speech, that's unity. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain of the land Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Watch this, verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. Now stop a minute. In this chapter, they've got one language. They've got one location. And they're one in labor. They're at unity. You say, well, they ain't even right with God. Right. But look at what God said about them. He said, these people are one. He said, in this they begin to do. And now nothing shall be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. God said, when people get in unity, nothing can stop them. Listen to me. It is sad when sinners are better unified for what they're doing than saints are for what they're doing. God looked at a bunch of sinners and said, they're together in one location, one labor, and one language, and now nothing can stop them. What in God's name could we do if the church got unified? I'm not talking about ecumenicalism. I'm talking about then the fundamental Baptist. I'm talking about if we can lay down our little petty differences, quit bashing each other to death and judging one another and get together a little bit. Unity. There's a thousand things going through my mind, but I ain't got time to say them. Unity. God said nothing. Nothing can stop. It's sad when sodomites are more unified than saints. We come together and squabble and fight, and our people got all kinds of strongholds in their lives, and we can't bring them down, and we go out the door defeated, and our children go to hell, and our marriages cave in, and our churches split because we ain't got no unity. Listen to this. As long as David, and listen, let me back up. As long, preacher, I got to slow down. Saul has been dead. In 2 Samuel 5, Saul has been dead 7.5 years. But there's still a little band that's fighting on Saul's side. Watch this. Watch this. As long as the household of Saul and the household of David, the northern tribes and the southern tribes, are fighting among one another, the strongholds of the Canaanites and the Jebusites are sitting back there secure in their life and that bunch of saints that's supposed to be the people of God fighting and killing one another. It's, listen to this. Will you get this? It's not until, friend, they get a unity between the two houses that God's able to bring the strongholds down. 400 years they spend fighting against one another. And 400 years, the place that belongs by deed from the mouth of God, Jerusalem, that belongs to the tribe of Benjamin, they can't take it because there's no unity. My soul, every time God starts to do something in our church, somebody will get crossways. I wish we had time to look at it. If you look in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, I ain't going to turn there. But God talks about this. He talks about them people that joined David. Hey, they were mighty men of war. They come ready, prepared for war. They brought their instruments with them. The Bible said they were people that could keep rank. You know what that meant? They knew how to take orders. And they all got one purpose. They said, if we can do one thing, if we can get David in his spot. Let me give you this second truth real quickly. I've just scanned that one. Look at the second thing that helped them bring the strongholds down. Number one, there was an agreement of hearts. Look, if you will, please. And number two, look at verse 3. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. Notice the second truth. And they anointed David king over Israel. Oh, listen to this. Not only there must be an agreement of hearts, there must be an anointing of the head. Oh, my soul. Oh, I don't know where you're getting hold of this, but it's helping me. They all said, we're nothing, every one of us. Ain't none of us nothing. But if we can take that one man that God's chosen to be king and anoint him,
and get all the honor on Him. Get all the glory on Him. And anoint Him and put Him in His position where He's supposed to be. Then when He become the head of everything, thank God, the strongholds come crumbling down. I want to tell you, Ephesians chapter number 1 said that God has made Jesus, He's the head of the church. You know the reason we can't get no strongholds to fall? Now, I'm not talking about making Jesus Lord. That's a stupid statement. But I'm talking about anointing Him as the Lord and head of your church, your marriage, your ministry, your mind, your money. Amen. Look at this. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. See if I'm quoting this right. Then David and his men took the stronghold of Zion, or the stronghold of the Jebusites. Is that what it says? What's it say? Who done it? It just says David done it. I want to tell you one thing, friend. If you ever anoint the Lord Jesus as the head of everything, your battle's over. When He becomes head, friend, when you get agreement in hearts that you're going to do everything in your power to get the attention off of yourself and get it on the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and anoint Him as the head of everything. I tell you the reason we can't get no strongholds broke. He's ahead of us. We run our marriage the way we want to. We run our ministries the way we feel we ought to. But if you study 1 Chronicles, chapter number 10 through 12, the Bible said day by day, they were getting tired of the regime of Saul. Help me, dear Lord, my time's leaving me. Oh, there must be a yearning for that head. They were getting so tired of Saul. They were getting so tired of the fleshly side of life. They were getting to where they was wanting somebody. Amen. Oh, I ain't got time to show you this. But he said in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18, he said, God said, you're the one. You're the one. You're the one that can free them from the bondage of the Philistines. I want to tell you, friend, it was a blessed day in my life when I quit trying to break my strongholds. And I sure had a lot of them. I got saved. I prayed about them, cried over them, fell flat on my face 1,000 times. But one day God helped me to see I'd never beat them. I'd never get to victory. I remember the day that I surrendered all. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, I run up the white flag. I said, God, from this day forth, I will not fight against them anymore. I'm just going to lay around and anoint the head, the Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you, friend, when He got to be in control of everything in my life, you know what I seen? I seen Him go to knocking walls down that I couldn't tear down. Yeah, I may not be preaching to everybody. Please, somebody here knows what I'm talking about. There must be a yearning. They got so discontented with Saul's household and Saul's way. Don't you get so discontented with yourself. Listen, you'll never get victory if you get fed up you. It ain't you get fed up you that you'll get victory. There was a yearning. Then there was a yielding. They yielded to His sword. Then there was a yoking. They made a covenant with Him. They made a league with Him. They said, if all the rest of us has to die, we just want you to be the head. If it kills every one of us, we just want you to be the head. If it takes one out of position and sets up another, we just want you to be the head. We just found out that only you can fight for us. Only you can free us. And according to verse number 2 and 3, He said only David can feed you. He's the one that can free you, fight for you, and thank God free you, and He's the only one that can. And oh, listen, it's not that you've got Him anointed as the head of your church, the head of your home, the head of your children, the head of your ministry. Who's in control of your life today? We had a family that had been smoking for 28 years. Him and his wife. I preached these messages, never mentioned smoking but once or twice. God convicted him. He said, I've tried to quit all my life, and I couldn't. But when I seen it was an issue of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life, God broke it, and he quit. But wait a minute. Then he turned around, the devil made him mad at the way I preached on it. And he just left our church 3 weeks ago. Hurry on real quickly. It's supper time. There must be an agreement of hearts, verse 1 through 4. There must be an anointing of the head, verse 3. But let me say a third thing real quickly. There will be an attempt to hinder. Verse 6, they get up against him. Verse 17, the Philistines heard it that the anointed David had, and all the Philistines came up and saw David and tried to kill him. There will be an attempt to hinder. When you get Jesus, listen, when you get unified in purpose, passion, you get unified and you start anointing Jesus Christ as the head of your life and the head of your church, you can rest sure, friend, the devil is going to raise his head and try to stop you from the victory that God just gave you. There was their first attempt in verse 17. Then there was a further attempt in verse 22. And it says to me that the attempts will keep coming. And I'll be personal about just a minute. I know supper's waiting. My way to get away from him. I hated him. I beat it down on him with a gun once when I was about 16. I couldn't get the nerve to pull the trigger. I thank God I didn't. Thank God there was restraining grace before I was ever saved. Oh, my soul, I could shout right there a while. I hated him. I hated the ground he walked on. I hated his sight. I hated his thought. I hated him so bad I dreamed about him every night I'd go to bed. Even after Brother Willis, after my wife and I got married, 10 years after we got married, she'd have to wake me up in the night fighting with my daddy trying to kill me with an axe, shooting at me. I'm telling him night after night after night after night after night after night after night, and I'd wake up crying. I'd wake up so mad I couldn't stand it. I'd wake up wanting to kill him, and I'd been preaching 10 years. I hated him. I got tired of that. I got so sick of that. I said, God, I ain't going to live like this. I won't preach no more. I'll quit preaching. I ain't going to preach. I'm telling God, people, God's got victory. God can break them things in their life. If you don't break it, man! I went one day in prayer. I got the victory over that thing. I've dreamed once in the last 15, 18 years, I've dreamed fighting against my daddy. You say, what'd you have? You handle it. I didn't handle it. Amen. I want to tell you, I just anointed the head. Amen, friend. Amen. Just every once in a while. Every once in a while. When I get real tired or real stressed out, that enemy will attack my mind again. And I think I got good victory over it again, and then after a while, he'll attempt to hinder me again. There will be an attempt to hinder. Number four, there must be an asking for help. David inquired of the Lord when he was hindered twice. He went and said, God, I've whooped them once, but I can't do it again, without you. Same God that defeated me, defeated Jebus at the first side, and the Philistines are the same God that must do it again and again and again and again and again and again. Just because you got victory once don't mean you can get it again without God's help. You've got to keep going back and going back and going back and bleeding the blood and bleeding the blood and laying before God and put Him back in the headship of your life again and again and again and again. There must be an asking for help. Can't do it on your own. And then lastly, the last truth I want to mention. There must be an adoration when helped. All Bible scholars says that David wrote Psalm 18 upon this occasion. And all Psalm 18 says is, the Lord did, the Lord did, the Lord did, the Lord did, He did, God did, He did, the Lord did, the Lord did, the Lord did, the Lord did. I'm not going to come in here and say, oh, I went and seen Dr. Phil, and I found out how to defeat these things. I went to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. No, 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 no. I wouldn't tell you how it works. Make him the head. Get a greed in your heart. Anoint the head. Get Jesus in the place of your life. You say, my marriage is on the rocks. Put Christ at the head of that thing, and God will break that stronghold. You may be here this evening, and I'm about to hush. You may be here this evening. There's a stronghold in your life. Let me run down this list, and I'm done. I ain't going to preach on it. I'm done. Come on, Brother Robert. I'm done. It may be authority. I believe there's strongholds of authority. Because my dad beat me so, I was rebellious. Brother, I took the beatings at the house, but I didn't have to take nobody's lip when I got in the public.
And all I was doing in the public when I was fighting against everybody else, I had such a temper, all I was doing was fighting my dad. And the day you listened to me, the day, Brother Rick Rackley, the day God broke the strongholds in my heart was the day that I learned how to submit to authority. Most time it's a rebellious issue of a stronghold that the devil has put in your life. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's sexual sins. Doubt. Fear. Shame. Unforgiveness. Hate. Temper. Strongholds. I'm not talking about little bitty things. I'm talking about things that they've got you choked down. They've got you sealed off. You can't get nothing from God. You can't get nothing from preaching. You can't get nothing from singing. You can't get nothing from praying. You live in defeat. You can't enjoy your marriage. You can't enjoy your children. You can't enjoy your home. You can't enjoy your life. You're all the time depressed and down and defeated and disheartened. And you're grouchy and ill and hateful. And the devil can't get along with you, and God can't either. It's a stronghold that you need broken. I'm telling you, if you don't get it broken, the next generation will have to fight the battle that you should have fought in your day. Let's stand. Come on, preacher. If you've got a stronghold tonight, I plead with you, come to this altar and say, God, whatever is my life, I want broken. I want victory. God will give you that.
My son's already coming. She's going to play. Won't you come? Come get some help. Some kind of stronghold, some kind of battle. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual. They're pulling down strongholds. All these are praying, won't you come? Might be that stronghold that'll drive you right into the shore. Brother Barry preached this morning. Take you to the bottom. That is something we need in these days, honesty before God. Honesty. She sings. You just mind the Lord. What's the next generation going to have to face? We should have dealt with.
My question. you can do. You've given God that problem, and it's no longer up to you. You pray the prayer of faith. Now you're standing on God's truth while you're waiting for your answer. He has a question just for you. Is anything
Hallelujah.
Too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? Are there situations He's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God?
I'm glad the answer to that's no. Thank God. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to bow our heads for a word of prayer. We're going to start back tonight at 7 o'clock. We're going to go down here and have another meal. And hopefully you got a little bit of room left for some stew and different things they have. We're eating a little lighter this evening, I guess. But I certainly thank God for what He's done. Look forward to hearing Brother Willis after a while.